You got to ask Tom Val why you don't get into it. Just mindset. Like, hey, I ain't going to get into it. You call me ugly? Cool. I'm ugly as hell. That's Tom Val. Like, if I'm talking to Chase, I would tell him, keep that same mindset. I think it helps KTM. It helps Chase to know that, hey, all right, as good as we are, we can be better. The bike isn't as good as we need it to be to chase these guys. Those guys at Honda and everyone else, they're continuing to work in. And I think we got a little bit somewhat false sense or whatever decision to make. Maybe it was KTM. They wanted to go for it. Chase didn't, and vice versa. But nonetheless, when it's his time to come in the game, he'd be Aaron Rodgers that ass. And that's what Justin Cooper was trying to do.
Little James, Bubba,
Ducked You,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He will win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind, baby, for round three from Thunder Valley, Denver, Colorado. Mile high. Maybe a little over a mile, but we at elevation. So you know what that means. There's going to be a lot of down on power, a lot of guys that's out of breath, but the action was packed. Last weekend in Hangtown, we saw Chase Sexton, number four, come out ride like my old boy RC.
Sexton, 40th to first.
Dominating performance. So would he continue that this weekend with the KTM? Was it really better, or was it Chase Sexton? And with Danger Boy, was it Tom Vial, or was it just simply a mistake? Well, we found out this weekend. We got a lot of answers, but still a lot of questions to be answered as well. So you know what we got to do from round three, Thunder Valley. Let's get into it, people. So this weekend at Thunder Valley, the track was the same layout as last year. There was one of the biggest differences was it wasn't as deep. So I actually think that it made it better for racing. These guys, it wasn't so, it's always about power, but the lines didn't get as rutted. You know, you have more options, which you saw guys kind of going back and forth, you know, sweeping around outside, going from outside to in, and making it so you can really actually get a pretty good rhythm. I think Thunder Valley, from when I raced it, it's a weird track. And I was talking to Jason off air, and I was like, it's the one track of the year that can be the easiest race. Like, if you're in a rhythm and you feel pretty good, that race is actually really easy. I don't know what it is. Like, the bike being at elevation makes it a lot easier to ride. You know, if you have pretty good suspension and you just got a good flow like Justin Cooper had, the guys will come off the track and be like, oh, that's one of the easiest races, even though it's at elevation. But at the same time, if you don't got the flow, you'll lead Thunder Valley and be like, that's the hardest race of the year, even over Southwick. And I've been in both. I've had races there where, you know, in 14, I was wide open the whole race, you know, both motos. The second moto, I was coming from the back trying to chase down Roczen. Roczen was on me the first moto all 35 minutes. And I wasn't even breathing hard. Then I had other races where I came off the track and I had donut powder around my lips because they were so dehydrated. And it was just the difference between I was uncomfortable, the bike setup. So my point is, if you have a pretty good flow, and we always talked about going to elevation, how it's hard for these guys and you got to shift, the power's down. Well, some guys left that racetrack and was exhausted, and some guys left it and was just like, it was another race and it wasn't that hard. So it's kind of cool having Thunder Valley like that. And since the track wasn't as deep, it made it so it really just came down to how the guy felt around the racetrack and had a lot of options for passing. Chase Sexton. Last weekend, we witnessed history, people. We saw one of the greatest rides, for sure his career, one of the greatest rides I've ever seen. Seen a lot of rides, but that one was pretty special. So you know, coming into this weekend, he was living on cloud nine, high in the sky. Not literally. I know we had mile high, but you know what I mean. His confidence was really high. So what would happen? Would he come in and just continue that momentum? I felt like Chase, he was in a weird spot because as of last weekend, he rode great. And I think it's one of those things that you can easily kind of get false hope in a sense of, was the bike that much better? Was it Chase Sexton? You know, was it just the KTM? Did they fix the problems from the first race? And for me, when I was watching the race, I was like, No, Chase is making this happen. Chase is going through this. Chase bike looks the same as it was last weekend at Paula. You know, he almost had a few moments, but I think Chase got in the spot to where he was like, forget it. Like after that second moto, he went down and it just literally was like confidence. And between the tracks that he was able to get away with a lot of stuff that he wasn't able to at Paula. You know, the acceleration coming out of the corners, and I broke that down in the show. So going into this weekend, when you heard him say he didn't change anything on the bike.
One, I'm not messing with the bike very much as far as bike setup. And then two, just having that confidence from last weekend.
It was, I think a lot of that was because of what happened last weekend. Like at Hangtown, he went out and he had that dominating performance. And I was afraid that maybe they would think that, hey, the bike is fixed. I don't want to change anything. And so we got to this weekend, Chase's race was going to be dictated on how the track allowed him. Would it be more like Paula or would it be like Hangtown? Would he be able to ride around it? Because Chase was going to be out there feeling confidence and going for the win and feeling like he can do anything. Well, first moto, gate drops. He doesn't get a great start. Personally, if you're asking me, I think if I'm Chase Sexton, I'm lining up on the inside of Jet Lawrence every time because I never really get off the gate ahead of him. And the one time that I did this weekend in second moto, it was the first time basically I've seen him. He lined up on the inside of Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence still beats him off the gate, but Chase can block everybody else on the inside, gets out. Well, nonetheless, first moto, gate drop. Chase is behind Jet. Now, Jet was in a spot to where he really wasn't pushing it. You know, Hunter, they both, the Honda guys, they didn't get the best of starts. It was Justin Cooper out in the hole shot. But Chase ended up kind of right behind Jet. And when you were watching him, it was like either one or two things were happening. Either he was just waiting, like last weekend. The one thing in that second moto, the one thing Chase has right now is that confidence that he can be far back. He can run these guys down. We already know he's in shape. He did that at Paula. And even last year, he was always pretty strong to the end of the races. So you know he has the confidence that if I'm within, I would say that like the Cooper Webb effect, what Hayden Deegan has right now is that if I'm within, you know, 5-6 seconds, I'm strong enough and I can come up. And last weekend, he was so much faster than everybody else that he probably had the belief that at the end of the motos, at some point, I'm going to kick it in gear. And what happened last weekend, it would do the same. So it was either that or he was uncomfortable. So we were kind of just waiting for him to, like, see what happened. Well, the Honda guys, you know, start getting into form. Hunter started going. He started getting his rhythm. And at that point, Jet started getting his rhythm. This is where I think Chase might have made a mistake because you had all this momentum from last weekend, and when Jet was trying to figure out his bike, and you know at this point, Jet was trying to figure out, okay, is this guy going to ride like he did last weekend? When is Chase going to come up? They start pulling away. When is Chase going to come up? Well, it allowed Jet to get in rhythm, and then Hunter got in rhythm, and they pulled away. Well, Chase started trying to go fast. They pulled a gap on him. It was probably like 5-6 seconds, and then at that point, Chase started going fast. And then we saw him make mistakes because they started running 215s and Hunter and Jet 215s, 217s. And then Chase was like in the 219s. And then Chase went down to 218. Then he went down to the same lap times as those guys. And so you were wondering, like, this was around halfway. So you were trying to figure out, okay, is he going to come up? Well, Chase started making mistakes. Chase couldn't catch those guys. And then Chase eventually hit the ground. And I think when you look at his motorcycle and when I was watching it, it looked exactly like it did at Paula. The difference was Chase was going off his mindset as last weekend in Hangtown. So Chase was like, I'll be able to ride around it. And all year long, Chase has been phenomenal. Like we talk, it doesn't look like he's always going to crash. The difference between the KTM and the Honda, it looked like he was on edge. At any minute, he can go down. Even though the kid looked, you know, super smooth, you just knew that that line was very easy to cross. Well, since on the KTM, I said, like, he had to be able to ride this bike different, and it was easy to override it. Well, I think what happened last weekend put Chase in a weird spot, and even with the team, was that maybe they thought that, hey, the bike is pretty good, we don't need to change anything, and that I'll be able to ride around it. And I think all year long, we haven't seen Chase make mistakes like he did this weekend. And a lot of that comes from Chase's confidence of what happened last weekend at Hangtown and the sense of, when you know your bike's not good, and let me rephrase that. When you know your bike's not as good as you want it to be to ride at the level that you want, you ride cautiously. Like you say, okay, I can't go fast here. I have to make my way, slowly continue to build. And Chase has been doing that all year. That's why he's gotten better. When you feel like, all right, my bike is not as good, but I'm confident, you ride like you did last weekend in the second motor. Like, I don't care. And I mentioned that, hey, Chase made it happen. Chase almost crashed 10 times last weekend as well, but Chase was able to save it. The track was different than it was at Paula. So a lot of things that Chase was almost, you know, his bike was slower, so he was getting ready for it. He still almost went down because the thing was kicking around. Chase was able to ride around that. Well, this weekend, Chase tried doing that, and then again, it caught him out. I think a part of that, as I was saying, is his confidence to be able to like, nope, I'm still going to win this race. And I think it bit him this weekend because the bike wasn't there. The bike wasn't, you know, as good as to be able to race that level, to be able to come back from 10 seconds down or how far he was behind Jet. It wasn't there yet. And Chase started trying to make that happen. And I think for us, that's why Chase, we saw a lot of mistakes from him. And that's why he hit the ground. I know Chase probably knows that. And it was, I would say, that race this weekend, seeing Chase hit the ground, he's been so good at not doing that this year. I would say that was an odd race compared to in years past. That was the normal. So a lot of that came, again, from Chase's mindset. It is the right mindset. I love his being aggressive. I think he's probably, like, if I'm talking to Chase, I would tell him, keep that same mindset. I think it helps KTM. It helps Chase to know that, hey, all right, as good as we are, we can be better. The bike isn't as good as we need it to be to chase these guys. Those guys at Honda and everyone else, they're continuing to work in. And I think we got a little bit somewhat false sense or whatever decision to make. Maybe it was KTM. They wanted to go for it. Chase didn't, and vice versa. But nonetheless, I think this weekend makes KTM continue to work for and realize that, okay, we got our rider. Chase realized like, hey, my bike is good. Some places I can ride around it, but we still need to continue to work on this motorcycle so it's a lot easier. And this weekend probably showed him that that was the case, and hopefully he doesn't lose his confidence, which I don't think he will. But Chase Sexton, he looked good to me in practice. He looked good. Even though he wasn't fast, I look at the way guys look on the body, on the motorcycle, his body position, and his confidence. You could tell when guys are confident. Chase, to me, was talking about, like, he wrote, like, he knew he was going to win. Like, he wrote that everything was about just getting to the motos, let me get into the motos. And as I said with Jet Lawrence last weekend at Hangtown, that he wasn't doing a lot of laps in practice. He was trying to find lines around the racetrack to, instead of like, okay, I'm gonna just go do fast laps to build my confidence. Chase already had that confidence. Jet had that confidence last weekend, so they were just trying to get to the race and find setups for the race, find lines for the race, and that's the way Chase rode in practice, which was a good thing. I just think they figured out that, hey, they need to continue working. I'm sure they will, and they're still right there. So when you're looking at the KTM, I think the one thing that was different this weekend, even compared to Hangtown and Paula, was that the track wasn't as deep. So I think KTM was basing off the, okay, if the track would be deep, it would be a little bit slower, the ruts, and where Chase was good at last weekend, even though the bike would kick sideways at the end of the ruts, going down the hill, since he had his suspension is a little bit more dead compared to some of the most other bikes, that everything would just be slower. Once you get to the bottom, the thing would kick, but you would already kind of know that was going to happen, so you could prepare. Well, what he was struggling with at Paula was rebound and coming out of the corner, the acceleration. So if this track here at Thunder Valley was more like it normally was, where it was kind of deep, had a lot of ruts, things would slow down quite a bit. Well, it wasn't. It was a lot drier, which means you had to have a bike that kind of worked more on the acceleration. Since everything was drier, the track was really slippery, the bike that the tire stayed on the ground would be better. Well, that's what Chase struggled with at Paula. Hangtown, the way the track was, he was able to ride around it. So when you look at the race and how everything played out, and really just the soil, that's where KTM, they end up struggling. Because the one thing that I felt like, they got two things that go for them. Since the frame has a little bit more flex to it, the side to side, when it hits, it just has more flex. It can be stiff, but it just has more flex to the frame. I think the KTMs always work really good on flat, hard-packed corners. And also, since the bike is a little bit slower than most, the acceleration is a little bit more dead off the bottom. It works well. So when you come to this track, if it was like it was this weekend, it should work pretty good. Well, Chase's the problem again was since his rebound was a lot slower and since he couldn't get the wheel on the ground, same thing he had at Paula, the track was really, although it was hard, it was still fast. Although it was like, you know, really slippery, it was still fast. And they had a lot of braking bumps throughout the corners, which means even though it works pretty good on a lean, the wheel still has to work. So it's almost like he was struggling with the acceleration coming out of the corner, which offset the bike being able to work on the side, because the flexibility of the frame and all that, it would be fine. But if the tire's not on the ground, then it really didn't matter. And Chase's issue, you can see his motorcycle. It looked like you took a rock and you threw it across the pond. The thing skips across, where that's great if you're throwing rocks. But when you need the tire to be on the ground and on the track that has a lot of rocks and traction and bumps in the corners, like, you need the tire to follow the ground. And Chase's bike wasn't doing that. You could see it skipping like across the track. Well, that's traction. And when you saw Chase crash, you saw how, like, we saw it coming. Like, he came out the corner, the same parts that I'm like, his bike was skipping. You can see it going da, 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 da. And then finally it hits and goes back the other way. Really slow, but the same thing was happening last weekend at Hangtown. The bike would go down the hill, and then it would go back the other way. Well, this weekend, there was a lot of lean in the way the track is. He struggled with that. So nonetheless, I think the KTM, again, the same issues that they had at Paula was the same issues they had here. The difference was that the whole track was, it really called them out. Like, it brought it out a lot more than even it did at Paula. And I think that's why you saw Chase Sexton struggling. That's why Chase Sexton hit the ground a little bit more. A lot of that was on him to say, okay, I'm gonna have to just take what I have today. But I think the right mindset was what he's had. He went into the race with the confidence and he was thinking that he would able to ride through it. Well, again, he got away. He's only 6 points down and they'll go to fix it. The good thing for Chase is that even going to High Point, even though it's going to be somewhat the same as this weekend, as far as it usually has a lot of ruts, it has a little bit of loose stuff on top, but it has a hard base. So you would think it would be just like here it was at Thunder Valley. I think it's going to be more how Thunder Valley normally is. Like, if the ruts are usually straight up and down, when you're in the flat corners, there's not a lot of flat corners that don't have ruts in it, where we saw that this weekend. Even though they had ruts, it was still like a pretty hard base to it. Well, High Point has ruts, but it's a little bit, the sole is different, so it has a little bit more traction. So nonetheless, Chase bike should be better. I think it'd be more what they thought Thunder Valley would be, but nonetheless, like, they're gonna have to fix that acceleration problem, because it's been 2 out of 3 races that it has been a problem. And again, when it's like that, the time that you end up losing out of the corners and around the racetrack, specifically how it was in Thunder Valley, it hurts Chase, and that's when he ends up trying to, you know, override it, and then things happen.
Oh, that's the inside line. We've seen this several times. James and Sexton goes flying and down.
So talking about Chase even more, I think with him, with the first moto, he gets out there and the mindset was, okay, these guys are in front, I'm going to try to run them down. Well, we saw what ended up happening. He tries to do that. He ends up going down. So that crash that he has in that sweeper was exactly what I was just talking about, like the rock skipping across the water, like the bike skipping, and you can see it coming. Bike gets in there, starts skipping around, he goes down. So I think Chase realized that, okay, I can't play that game. I need to be in front of them. And my mindset, and I think I even said on the broadcast, would be, he went into the first moto thinking that it was going to be like last weekend at Hangtown. That doesn't go. So I need to be in front of him, because that way I can slow the race down. If your bike's not that good, you want to be in front of your competition, because then it dictates the race. You can slow the race down. His problem was the first moto is that they were gone. So even running that pace to catch the same pace that Jet then was doing, he had to go faster because of the time he lost. And I think his mindset going into that moto was different than it was going to the second moto. We saw Chase being a lot more aggressive. So the first crash was really, look, I'm trying to chase them. Bike doesn't work. I end up going down. Okay, it is what it is. The second crash was his mindset of, like, I need to be in the lead so I can shut this race down. I can close it and slow it down. And so he was really aggressive. We saw he came in with Hunter, not to be denied. He was like, "Die, take it." I was like, damn. We saw what he did last weekend when he came in the gym. Like, damn. Like, nah. It was like the Debo thing. Like, no. Well, that's how he went in. And he was really aggressive trying to get around Justin Cooper. So I believe a lot of that was because Chase was like, I need to be up front. I'm going to slow this race down. Because if they run that pace and I feel like I have to go that fast, I'm probably going to struggle. The bike probably is not feeling that good today. And when I went fast earlier, I was hitting the ground. So I need to slow this race down. So when he goes in and tries to pass Justin Cooper, yeah, it was an aggressive. I think what he was trying to do was the right thing. I think he just did it in a spot that Justin Cooper didn't see him. So Justin Cooper kept running in that moment. They did fix that section a little bit, so it was a lot more loose than it was earlier and earlier motos. But his reasoning for going in there to do it, he wanted to be in the lead so he can slow down. He just went in there, came up short. The bike, both wheels slid away from him, and he was on the ground. So you can look at it as it was too much. He was over, like, really too aggressive. What was he thinking? I don't see it that way. I know what he was trying to do. I just think he went in there, and Justin didn't slow down. Justin kept going in because he didn't even see him. That now Chase is in a spot to where this probably ain't going to end well. And luckily for him and Justin, that Chase went down. He didn't get hurt, but it was one of those moves that Chase needed to be up front. He wanted to be up front. And to me, it was he realized in between motos that I need to be up front. I need to start ahead of those guys. Then I'll slow the race down and I'll take my chances. And if I feel like if I'm in front of Jet or those guys, I have a chance to win the race. He can't come from the pack, and that was the difference. So the first crash, more bikes thing than the first moto. Second one was his mindset of knowing I need to be in the lead so I can slow this race down, and then we can go racing. So we talked about Chase Sexton, and we thought he was going to be in the position most likely that the other guy was, and this guy was Justin Cooper. Justin Cooper was the one who emerged this weekend. Is like, damn, like, where did that come from? Well, if you've been paying attention to the show and you've been paying attention to Justin Cooper, like, you know it was coming. Justin rode great. Justin's bike looked the best out of everyone's. And I know last year, like, he's always done well at this racetrack. But because of the way everything played out this year, and Yamaha, you got to give Star Racing Yamaha a lot of credit because they allowed Justin Cooper, just like Hunter Lawrence, to slowly get his rhythm into this 450. We saw it with Supercross. Like, he was there. Like, he's always real good. I thought he was going to be a pretty good 450 rider. Very smooth. Even though he's smaller, very smooth. And he got better. Then he started having some poles in qualifying. So the first race, he comes in, he rides good. And this weekend, he got a hole shot. And you're like, okay, this is Justin Cooper. Oh, Justin Cooper was like 250 class. Got out front and start pulling away. Yamaha had the double D's effect. That's how that thing was working. It had traction. Them things were like the one opposite of what we were talking about with the KTM. The Yamaha was playing it. And even more than the Honda, Justin Cooper looked comfortable. It looked really easy for him to do it. And you could just tell the confidence lap after lap. Even though the what happened the first moto happens the second moto, it was a little bit longer in the second moto. He looked a little bit more comfortable in the second moto. And if he continues this, then Justin Cooper will win a race. But a lot of that came down to was because of how the year went out. He showed up in that first moto, and when he's starting to lead the race, it wasn't, oh my gosh, like, I got a hole shot. What do I do with this? It was, okay, I've been slowly building here. I know I'm already fast, so I'm allowed this thing to go. And that's why he was out front, and he looked good. And eventually he'll finish that thing off. I just think Justin Cooper was getting that. It was all the combination of how the year has been and the fact that he likes this track, the fact that the bike was really good. And I said on the broadcast, it was like a rookie coming in to the NFL and gets to sit. Maybe they play some preseason games. Maybe they go in at the second half when the score is out. They get a little bit of play. But Yamaha's focused on Cooper Webb. They're focused on Eli Tomac. Justin Coop gets to sit there and learn from those guys and have no pressure getting up to speed. And eventually, when it's his time to come in the game, he'd be Aaron Rodgers that ass. And that's what Justin Cooper was trying to do, and he looked good doing it. So expect Justin Cooper to be back. I think this weekend, the way this track is a lot, as I mentioned earlier, a lot like Thunder Valley. So now Justin's got his starts back. He's got that confidence. He's going to be leading some laps, and eventually he'll get a win. The Lawrences, the brothers. I'm going to have to keep them. I used to say separated because they were like, yeah, Jet was winning, and then Hunter was building that confidence. But now it's kind of like when you talk about one, you got to talk about the other one because they're finishing and they're battling each other and they're going 1-2. So the Lawrences. But I'm going to talk about Hunter first. It was the first moto when the gate drops. We're so used to both Hondas up front. Justin Cooper pulls a hole shot, and those guys were like mid-pack. Well, if you watch the start, I was like, there was somebody trying to click it in the gear. Like, they were trying to figure it out. Like, something went different. And here at the race, like at Thunder Valley, guys, some guys start in second gear. Some guys, most of them start in first gear. It's the only race of the year that you would do that. And that's how much down, that's how much more the power is, less the power is here at Thunder Valley, where you can take a 450, hold that thing wide open in first gear and start with it. Well, when the gate goes, you know, car goes sideways, Hunter probably clicks that thing in second gear. And then if you look on the side camera, you see him like clicking the bike down, like, okay, oh, shoot. So I'm assuming he goes to first gear. He doesn't get the best of starts considering how all year long they've been up top three pretty much top or hole shot in the thing. And but it was pretty good considering that dude, he was like freaking out on the gate. But we showed it and it was a highlight. And I just saw somebody clicking it down on the red bike. So Hunter looked good. When I was looking at him, he looked good in practice, but Jet did as well. I mean, the track in practice was really smooth. But that first moto, it was the most aggressive I've seen Hunter all year long. Like, he was really fluid on the motorcycle, but actually, like, aggressive. He was making some great passes, and you could tell he was going to the front. And for his younger brother, it was a perfect spot to be in for Jet as well, which I'll talk about in a second. But Hunter was making his way up front, and then eventually they both end up catching Cooper, but Hunter ended up catching Cooper, making the pass, and then Jet was trying to get around Hunter, but couldn't do anything with him. Hunter looked good. When you look at his motorcycle, you could tell that Honda, they made some improvements. And the one thing I do like about his riding style, which I mentioned before, Hunter sits down a little bit more than Jet, and in certain tracks, it makes him a little bit more versatile. Like Jet mentioned sitting down more in the second moto because he ain't had no legs, but I like the way Hunter does that, and he just has some great lines because of that. Sometimes when you're sitting down, he'll stand up and then sit down in the right part of the corner, which allows that bike to put traction on it. And I just think it's just a little bit more versatile than standing up. Clearly, Jet has a great riding style. Clearly, like both of them, they stand up quite a bit more than others. But because Hunter stands up and down, it allows him to, I would say, be more aggressive to the point to where he can ride that attack mode like the Jeremy Martin more than I would even say Jet. Jet goes fast, and yes, he does attack, and he can ride that way. But when he does that, he almost changes his riding style a little bit. Like, he sits down more because clearly you can't be bulldogging it everywhere and standing up doing it. It's like two different riding styles. Well, because Hunter does both, he was able to do it, and that's what he looked like this weekend. The Honda made some improvements. You could see on the lean, the bike was a little bit more flexible. And when you look at Jet and Hunter, I felt like Hunter, even at the first race, Hunter looked a little bit more comfortable than Jet. And if you had a motorcycle that's a little bit springier, bouncing around, you're not really sure what it was going to do. Sometimes sitting down puts that weight on that bike, makes it squat more. And I think that's the difference, that when you look at the two brothers and when you could pick out the difference between the motorcycles, even though they're teammates, even though their riding styles pretty much the same, one sits down more than the other. So it allows Hunter to have the same bike as Jet, but he can make it work differently. And that's why I think when you're looking at Hunter, he looks a little bit more comfortable than Jet did. So Hunter was able to win that first moto, and just what it does for him moving forward, he was obviously confident. I don't think it was if he can win, it was when he was going to win. But I think just moving forward, now that the streak's over with his brother, now he really can race Jet, you know, chase into that streak last weekend. And I was like, at Paula, it looked like Hunter was faster than Jet, but just that awkwardness of, like, how do you end in the streak? Or where Hunter was and Paula, even worse, having Chase like right behind you. So if you pass your brother, then it might slow his rhythm down. And whether you feel like you can win the race or not, it might allow Chase to get around your brother. And if Chase wins the race and then your brother beats you, but he ends up losing the streak, there was just a lot going on. Well, that's over with. So Hunter's now racing Jet, like racing him. And you can see how aggressive both of them were. Like, not aggressive like they were hitting each other, but aggressive like they were racing each other. And so I think just moving forward, what it does with Hunter and his confidence, and you can see it playing out all year long. He's been like Justin Cooper, you know, just slowly getting in this thing. Now start winning the heat race, starting getting fast qualifying. So now he's at this point. He went through Paula, went through Hangtown, led some laps. So if the next step was to win a moto, he won that moto. He didn't get the overall, but he has the red points. You know, he has the red plate, feeling good. I personally think the red plate doesn't really mean that much to Hunter as far as it's going to give him confidence because he has it. Because he won that moto is what gives him confidence. And because, like, he's been here and he's gotten to the top of the mountain, you essentially, the way the year has been going, just been getting better and better and better, is now Hunter's here to stay. And I always talk about with him, he's, you know, he takes his time to build this, you know, build it. But once he builds it, he's going to be here. And the brothers, Hunter's going to be just like Chase. Hunter's going to be in this championship to the end. And I think Jet knows that. And if I'm Jet, I would probably not want to race Hunter because he doesn't really make a lot of mistakes. We know he's strong and he knows everything about you. So it's going to be really hard. And at the end of the day, I do think, as I was mentioning before, his style allows him to have a little bit more versatility than you as far as when the bike's not working. I feel like Hunter, because he sits down a little bit more, he can ride around it. Again, that's not taking a knock because your style pretty damn good too. But overall, Hunter Lawrence did something this weekend, and you could just see what Chase was able to do last weekend. Open up the thing, open up this field. Not for Hunter, because Hunter always felt like he was there, but you see Justin Cooper, you see even Barcia. Everybody seemed like they were riding a little bit with a little bit more pep in their step. Anderson, he was ready to crack that wallet open. He thought better not for Susie, but I mean Siggy. But everybody believes. But the next guy, they might believe, but he shuts him down pretty quick. Last weekend, we saw Jet Lawrence hit. His body was still up there like Alex Martin was. Like he hit the ground. He was all beat up.
Sure that those...
Jet! Jet is down! Down hard on the downhill!
I felt like Jet was going to come in this weekend and do exactly what he did. I feel like he was going to come out there, make a statement in practice, which that's what he did. Wasn't really worried about, you know, it wasn't shocking that he was fast in practice because, you know, he rode last weekend, and even last weekend in the second moto, at one point, he was going fast. His body just didn't last. So it wasn't going to be about speed. It was going to be about how did he feel the way the day was as the day kept continuing, how would it be? And the circumstances worked out perfectly for him. It worked out because Jet Lawrence made him work out. But Chase Sexton, he was struggling with his own stuff. He was really never around him until he was around him second moto, and then they kind of went back and forth. But what it allowed Jet to do, first moto, he's behind Hunter. He follows Hunter all the way through the pack. Hunter was a toe for Jet all day long. Hunter was in front. Hunter was moving to the front. Jet was able to watch his lines. And because it's his brother, I think that part of just being comfortable and not really having the stress, it allowed Jet to really ride that race and just kind of get into the rhythm and save his energy. And that's what ends up happening as the day goes on, because you hear him at the end of the race talk about he couldn't even feel his legs. Clearly, the kid was struggling, not for speed, but just endurance as far as, one, he didn't ride all week, and then two, I'm sure his shoulder and leg was starting to give out. But because the way that the day went, because he rode with Hunter all day long, he was able to follow Hunter, so he didn't have to stress on, like, okay, figure this thing out. Like, Hunter's going fast, I'm just follow his line. When Hunter passes somebody, I'm going to pass him. And then I don't have to like have that stress of like, all right, this dude's going to try to take me out, or just being nervous. If that was Chase Sexton, then it would put a lot of pressure on Jet, even if he did the same thing. Even if Jet would have did exactly the same thing he did with Hunter, rode the same, except for that 96 was a four, Jet would have been more stressed out. It would have just put a different pressure than having your brother. Well, Jet was able to ride behind Hunter all day long, so he got his rhythm. And then that second moto, he got his rhythm. And then once he was able to pass Hunter, he learned everything from him. And the difference is, I think Jet, because he was able to sit back and save that energy, because he sat back and watched Hunter, all the different lines that was working good, all the places that Jet was struggling at, he saw Hunter pull away from him. So when he got in front, he went faster in those areas because he already knew, okay, this is where I'm slow. This is why I'm slow. This is where Hunter goes. So I'm going to go in those spots. I'm going to go a little bit faster, but I also know where I'm faster at. Hunter doesn't know that. So when he passed him, he kind of pulled away, and then he got up to Justin or Lappers or something, slowed him down, and Hunter was able to follow his lines, and then Hunter closed in. And so it really came down to is that Jet was able to follow Hunter all day long. He knew his lines, and Hunter didn't know that until the end of the second moto, which that's why he caught back up, and that's why he gave Jet a run for his money. But at that time, it would have been harder for Hunter to get around him at the end of the race. Jet rode perfect, and he did exactly what he needed to do. And mostly for, I wouldn't say, it's a weird spot because some people think that what happened last weekend in Chase and Jet losing was changing the guard, right? Or I wouldn't say changing the guard, but Jet needed to come back here and establish his dominance. I felt like if Jet was going to do that, it would have been a mistake. Because when you look at, if I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm just going to tell myself that, well, the only reason he won because I went down. Like, the only reason he won because I went down. So I'm going to go this weekend, and the one thing I just need to do is just go win. I don't need to do anything else because usually when I go out and I line up, every time I lined up before, I decide to come 2.5 down this jump. I won. So I don't need to prove anything. And it's easy to fall in that trap, just like we were talking about the KTM and like, all right, should we work on the bike? Or because it's so easy to fall into, well, if we work on the bike, we might make it worse. Instead of being like, well, we need to make on the bike. We need to work on the bike because we can be even better than where we were. Jet needed to not fall in that trap of, okay, I need to go back here and prove to the world that I'm still the man because I am still the man. And that's what would be my mindset. And when I say Jet rode perfect, that's how he rode. Like he rode in the sense of, I think because his body was maybe not 100%, it probably put him in a spot to where he couldn't go at all out. He had to let the day go. Whatever the reason was, what he did was exactly what he needed to do because he just rode. He let it come back. You didn't watch Jet Lawrence. He didn't look any different than he did previous races. Like he didn't go out there trying to prove a point. And if he would have tried proving that point, he probably could have been on the ground or, you know, overrode, got a lot tired. He went out there and just rode. Hunter towed him on the racetrack. He was able to save his energy. But the biggest message that he did was that nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. That's the message that he needed to send. He needed to go out there and do exactly what he did. Nothing but be Jet Lawrence, and he was able to win the race. So for him, moving forward, it's perfect because I think it sends the message to everyone else outside of his brother, outside of his Jet, really everyone else, maybe in the media, the fans, whatnot, that look, I'm here. I'm not buying into the fact that all of a sudden things have changed and all of a sudden that I got to be different. All of a sudden, all these things, I'm just going to be me. And that's what he went out there and did. Now, the reason I said Chase, his confidence wouldn't be knocked down because I think with the bike and the fact that, yeah, besides that second moto, he was so far back, like he really never got up there. Just like I said, Impala, when he went down, well, if you don't really race the dude, then it's hard to be like, damn, like get demoralized because you don't race the dude. If Chase would have been up there and ended up where Hunter was, then what happened last weekend, it would have put a lot of question marks in Chase's head. But the fact is, they struggled with the motorcycle that he did pass Jet and he was in front of him and he was going for the lead. Then he went down. If I'm Chase Sexton, that's all I'm talking about. That's all I can talk about because, yeah, I couldn't catch him because, look, I was struggling with the motorcycle. No one can catch anybody if they're struggling with the motorcycle. First moto, then I go down. Second moto, I passed the dude. Like, I was on my way to the win, and then I went down. That's all we need to talk about. So Chase's mindset is that. Jet's mindset is nothing besides I'm Jet Lawrence, and that's why both of them, I think, again, they will be able to go forward, moving forward, just feeling 100% confidence that if my bike's good, if I'm Chase Sexton, I've just dominated these fools. I came from last, dominated these fools. And if I'm Jet Lawrence, Only reason he dominated these fools because I was on the ground. So that's our scenario. That's why I look forward to going to High Point. But at the end of the day, this dude came out and did what he needed to do, and that was beat Jet Lawrence. And he did exactly what he needed to do, and that was beat Jet Lawrence. And he did exactly what he needed to do and beat Jet Lawrence and get what for him, Cole? Hit it for him.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Yes, he got the neck burn. Got the neck burn. So look, when people knocked you down, you were like, well, you knocked yourself down. When people thought you got bit by Jaws, you know, you got chunks missing from your legs and you got one arm and you're like, dude, man, I can't feel my legs. I've been there. I can't feel my legs. Man, I've been there way too many times. You still got it done. Sent the message that, look, nothing's changed. It only remains the same. And I'm Jet Lawrence. Yeah. And Lawrence, he has the red plate. It's just your brother. But I'm telling you right now, your brother going to be there and he's going to be legit. So both of you guys, y'all did it. Now, the 250 class.
Yeah, it was cute. Tom ran into me. That was, he went down, but.
These boys have been falling into the danger zone. Hayden Deegan. Hayden Deegan just woke up like he woke up. Saw him have a baby last year. He may be adopting some babies. I don't know. But you go back to the first moto, the way he won in Paula, how he won it with Levi. And then, really, I would say this series has been based off of one moto. And that was Hangtown Moto number one. Why? Because, yeah, he won the other one. And he won the other two races before. And he had somebody on him. And, yeah, he was sitting back. He knew the dude was going to get tired. He really relaxed. He's been doing that all year long. If you watch Hayden, he doesn't seem like he rushes things. Except for, that, you know, a little bit. Tom put some mistakes in him. He makes him rush a little bit. But that could be a lot to do with, one, Tom's going fast, and two, somebody's going fast. You have to go a little bit faster. So not saying that Hayden's being pressured by Tom, but Tom's making Hayden ride a little bit harder than maybe he wants to, which brings out a little bit more mistakes. So that's just the facts. Like, you go a little bit faster, there's more chances to say that things might go wrong and you might make some mistakes. You go faster on where your bike's maybe not as good. You got to go fast because Tom's coming up. Might not be him putting pressure on you, but he's just making you ride. But nonetheless, Hayden's been very calculated. So as much as you could sit here and say pressure, it's just he's been able to handle it. So how much pressure is it? Well, going back to what I was saying, Hangtown Moto 1, why that was such a big deal. Yeah, he won. Yeah, he won. It's the way he won. It's the way he won. Not that it's saying much for Hayden, because we saw, and he knows, he's strong. He's strong. He did it at last year at Washougal. He won that way, like, strong at the end. I'm going 18,000 seconds faster than everybody at the end of the race. So he knows he's strong. Why was it such a big deal? Because what it said to everyone else, right? It makes them think about you and how they think about you. That's what Hayden's been able to accomplish, and you hear it. He talks it. You hear him in his interviews. I said last weekend, what he's saying, he's talking to everyone else. Like, he's talking to everyone else. The fans might not like it. They might think he's saying things. And, yeah, he might be some people think he's crossing the line. Whatever. I'm not even getting to that. I'm just talking about what he's saying. It's not directed towards anybody else except for everyone else.
What the hell?
And that doesn't make any sense. But it makes perfect sense when you think about it. Because he's letting them know, I own this class. Because of the way he won that moto at Hangtown and being so far back, you got to believe that Chance Hymus was like, this race ain't done until this race is done. And that's the message that I said. Why that race was so important is because of that moment. He is strong. He knows he's strong. But it just makes those guys know that, look, even 10 seconds out front, and particularly Chance Hymus, because he was the one that got ran down, Hayden's still here. Like, he's still going to come. Like, oh, man, I'm 20 into it, 25. Just never know. And that's what the message that Hayden sent, along with all the other messages that he's been sending. And boy, he's been sending. He should open up a shipping company with all these messages he's sending. But nonetheless, that's what he's been doing. It's been cool to watch, like, somebody just really kind of grow up and take control of a class. Like, really, like, you usually see it coming, but it's almost like he's talked himself and talked his way into it, and he's been backing it up. Trust me, he's been backing it up. But because his the way he carries himself and all the other things that he's doing, and he's convinced himself that it's his class. Now, with Hayden, there's two other issues. One of them is Tom Vial. Tom Vial just don't care. It ain't that he don't care about Hayden. He just don't care. He just ain't going to get into it. Why he don't get into it? You got to ask Tom Vial why he don't get into it. Just mindset. Like, hey, I ain't going to get into it. You call me ugly? Cool. I'm ugly as hell. That's Tom Vial. Not saying that he's ugly. I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So he just don't get into it. So Hayden can't talk himself. He trying. It just don't really get to him. Now, it probably gets a little awkward for Tom. Like, damn, bro. Like, all right, I didn't gave up. Like, I gave up. Not on track, but I gave up since. Like, you can keep talking about mama. I just don't care. Like, you still talking about my mama. So it might be a little awkward that he had to answer some questions or why he went outside when he should have went inside. That was an awkward one. But he said the truth. And that's Tom Vial. He's like, damn, I forgot. Like, I would have had to make some kind of excuse. I would have been like, didn't you see that bird that flew down there? The cameraman ran across the track. Like, I would have had to lie, people. I'm sorry. I'd had to lie. But Tom Vial just like, man, damn, I forgot. We're like, damn. All right, well, next. That's him. So Hayden's dealing with that scenario. And the other one, I'm going to talk about him in a second. But it's Chance Hymus. And why I'm going to talk about him and why Hayden got a problem with him, I'm going to explain that in a minute. But Hayden's doing everything he needs to do. He's doing a great job, and he's being consistent. And I will say with the 250 class, when you were looking at just past history and with the Lawrences going out, there's one person waiting to step in this door. But I felt like you could win and be really have a chance to win this title by just being consistent. If you just finished top five in this class, years would the past would say that with the main guy gone, you got a bunch of guys who's up and down. Hayden was one of those guys that even last year, he was really consistent towards the end of the year. So he had that going for him. And the reason why I thought Tom Vial would be pretty strong was because of his attitude and the way he goes about life. He's not up and down. He's just going to be consistent. And he won that Supercross title, and he's better. He's going to be better. He's ridden on track. So overall, I just thought Tom was going to be better, which means he was going to be a threat. Consistent, not up and down. And then you had everybody else. So Hayden Deegans came in here and he continues to win. And yeah, you saw him that first moto when he went down. He did not want that narrative of what people were thinking that Tom Vial put that pressure on him last weekend to end. Why? Because it would have wiped away what he did the previous three motos. Frankly, it would have wiped away. And that's why Hayden was all like, look, I don't care. I'm going to hit the ground. I need to pass this dude because everything I've done at this point, yeah, I just wait around. Levi going to get tired. I know he's going to get tired. Yeah, you know what? That was cute. All these things, it would have been wiped away if Tom Vial would have won that first moto this weekend because it would have said, okay, two weekends in a row, yeah, people that you know and you hang out with, you's pretty cool with, but with somebody else, they start putting pressure that you don't know, you still have a crack. And that would have showed everyone else that you got to put pressure on them and that they'll crack. Hayden was like, hell nah. I don't care. Maybe even if that was true, I can't let them think that was true. And that's why he went out and won that moto. So the 250 class has been really about mindset and going forward because Tom Vial, you got one mindset and Hayden Deegan got another mindset. And now you got a third mindset, Chance Hymus. That was that other problem I was saying, Hayden. Why is it a problem? For all my older people out there, you ever seen the movie She's All That? Most of y'all have. And young kids, you haven't seen it? Well, you need to see it. Well, there's a girl in there. Her name is Rachel Lee, something like that. I'm not going to say nerd, but she's not the coolest girl, right? She's not the coolest girl. Everybody overlooks. Maybe she gets picked on. She ain't that cool. Well, she ends up, there's something that happened. A lot of things transpire. Well, she ends up hanging out with the dude that looks the best in school. You know how these teen movies are back in the day? They always end up, there's one pretty little dude out there. Well, she ends up hooking up with this dude. Not hooking up with him like that, but she ends up going out and date with him. And all of a sudden, she's the prom queen. Now she believes. Now she's that girl. Well, that's Chance Hymus. Chance Hymus is that girl, and she's all that. Why? Because Chance Hymus pulls them whole shots. be out front faster than everybody, just like the chick. She didn't know she was so pretty. She didn't know she looked that good until she knew she looked that good. With Chance Hymus, I don't think he believed he was that good until he was able to win this moto. Well, now he went out and date with that guy. Now he's the prom queen. Now Chance Hymus is all that. So my point is, she's all that. Now allows Chance Hymus to be all that. He was pretty all the time. He was fast all the time. He just didn't know it. Anyway, he ends up winning this race, dating a dude. Now he's the prom queen. Won the race. So will he continue that? Well, we're going to find out. And I think he will, because Chance Hymus, that dude good. That dude good. They used to call him what? Fatty? Fumby? What? Flubber? Flubber? Fumble? Just like the She's All That girl. They used to make fun of her. Look at the chick. Ah, she be painting. She coloring. She ain't cool. Well, that's what they thought of Chance Hymus. And now he be leading the prom queen. Yeah, he didn't win overall, but I think this is going to be something that's going to continue and run out, because Chance Hymus, again, is that guy that I feel like he is a generational talent. He just didn't know he was. I would be surprised if he just started winning a bunch of races because he's that good. Look at the second moto. Man, it looked easy. It looked easy. Saw him last weekend. He pulled, 3-4 seconds in a couple laps at Hangtown, first moto. And then it's like, ah, dang, I'm out here. Like, whoa, what do I do? And a lot of that comes back from, one, just injuries and, you know, other things, just not believing. Well, hopefully this moto allows Chance to believe that he is as good as he really is, because that dude is good. And if he goes back and watch that second moto, the dude was good. Now, I will say this. That race was dictated a little bit when Hayden got in the second. He wasn't worried about Chance. I can tell you the way he was riding. He wasn't worried about Chance. If that same scenario happens this weekend, it would be different. I think Hayden would actually start forcing himself to come up. Maybe not go as full effect as he did with Tom, but Hayden would ride different now. Chance is second in the championship, and Chance now does have that speed, and Hayden's aware of that. Chance has that speed because they raced each other to be really good. And the only thing that was separating him than Hayden was upstairs, because they're both talented. And so we'll find out. So moving forward, I think you got three guys, including the Green Leopard. Levi's still there. He had an off race. But you're going to have these guys moving forward. And then it's cool to watch everyone else go. But as I said, all that. And we saw, look, your mama's so fat. Okay, cool. We saw him. He was running just like his teammate, just both teammates. Maybe the KTM wasn't working as good. I think, look, the difference between Tom Vial and Hayden Deegan in the race, Hayden was faster all day long, just a little bit faster. Tom Bite looked pretty good to me, but he wasn't fast enough to be able to really put a lot of pressure on Hayden. Like, he couldn't close the gap in that first moto. Like, he was there, and he stayed close enough that made Hayden think about it, but he wasn't close enough to make Hayden really start thinking about it. And I think that was because just the way Tom, how he is, you know, I would say probably needs to be a little bit more aggressive, not going in on people, but I think his mindset, he needs to slap a bitch when they talk about his mama, really. Like, that's probably what he needs to do, just slap somebody. I think if he has that mindset, then I think he will realize certain situations, certain times that I need to just get a little bit closer, because getting a little closer makes a lot of other things open up. That was that first moto. He was just there. Just the fact that the way he rode the second moto, he was like, all right, look, I got to go. I'm pissed. I don't think he liked the cute comment. I don't think he liked answering some of those corners. So maybe he did slap somebody, mama. Maybe he slapped somebody for talking about his mama between the motos. But nonetheless, Tom Vial needs to be more like that guy. So again, the only problem for him was that maybe that what his teammates went through when they tried going fast, they got to continue working on the bike, because when he tried going fast, I saw a couple crashes. One, he stalled a motorcycle, and two, I think he went down. So maybe there is a limit, and that's the limit that he found in that first moto. You go over that limit, you start hitting the ground. Nonetheless, I think Tom rode a little bit more aggressive, and it's going to be great to watch him continue to move forward. So you got Tom Vial, slap somebody when they talk about your mama. You got Hayden Deegan that be talking about everybody mama. And then you got She's All That and Chance Hymus, and it's going to be Chance Hymus. Is he still that? Is he going to be the prom queen or prom dude? Chance, I don't mean no disrespect. I'm just trying to make a point. That's all I am. So you got those three guys. But at the end of the day, we're only talking about one. And the only one we're talking about is the one that keeps winning. We talk about everybody else. We talk about everybody else. We talk about everybody else, but we end up talking about one person, and that's Hayden Deegan, because he got another one, and that's three in a row, and he's got a 24-point lead, and that's all that. So, Hayden Deegan, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck burn. We got the dub. Good job, kid. Keep it up. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, or your second favorite time. Q's with Stews. Let's get into it, Cole.
Brett Lee asks, with Jet at maybe 90% after his crash at Hangtown and still coming out with a win at Thunder Valley, does this demoralize the rest of the field knowing that they have nothing for him if he wants the win?
What's up, Brett? Yeah, that's a good question. And most of the time I would say yeah, but because the way things went down and who they went down to with Hunter obviously being Jet's teammate, it doesn't affect him because he knows how good he is. And then he was able to win his moto. I think Hunter feels like it's going to be knocked down, drag out between brothers. So he fine. And the way Chase Day went, and because of what happened last weekend, it allows him to continue to believe. It also makes him have to continue and KTM to continue to work on the motorcycle. So it doesn't really affect Chase as much as if a different scenario would have happened. For instance, if they would have battled each other, at least with Chase, then what you asked, it would have been pretty legit as far as like, yeah, it'd be demoralizing. But because they didn't, how the day went, I think for us fans, it's the best case scenario. So no, it won't affect them moving forward.
Willis626 asks, how is Deegan beating these guys that have way more years and more experience than him?
Will be answering a lot of questions, asking a lot of questions. Will, that was a good question, Will. Well, he's beating these guys that's been in that class maybe longer than him, but he's not beating guys that got more experience than him. For instance, guys that got more experience at winning. That's the thing. Like, there's guys that's been in the class, but they don't have experience winning. So when they get up there, just like Levi's won, but he's never been at this position. Just like Hayden's never been at this position. You know, he won that world championship last year, the SMX championship, and won some races. But being the guy in the class, we saw how he kind of acted or reacted a little bit in Supercross. He got there, and then it was just different. So Hayden's beating the guys that, yeah, they've been in the class, but the only one that really has the experience is Tom Vial, which is one of his biggest competitions and why Tom Vial doesn't get bothered. So everyone else, they might be in any class, but they're all kind of going through the same process together, including Tom. Winning over here is different than winning over there as far as just format, just the way everything is. The competition's just as good, if not better, just as strong. I would say both of them are even. So the competition is good, but just the difference of being here. But nonetheless, my whole point is he's beating the guys that are going through the same emotions and going through the same things that he's going. So it's more about he's just handling it better because he was able to do a little bit and go through it a little bit in Supercross. I think helps him prepare for it during motocross. So the next time he's ever in that position, he reacts. And I think he's racing against guys that have to go through the same thing.
Will G Ski 16 asks, why was Hymus able to pull such a big lead in Moto 2? Was it suspension changes, good start, belief?
Will G Ski, I am, well, Will G something. Will, you want to go ski? Whatever. Why was he able to do it? Because he did good. He good. I mean, he damn, he good. Like I said, she's all that. He's all that. Yeah, I don't think he believed until he believed. And he didn't believe until he crossed the checkered flag. Then he was like, damn, I'm pretty good. So moving forward, we'll see how. I would say this question would be more accurate. We can get a definite answer on how these next races go. Like if he starts winning everything, then I would say, yeah, because he believes that he can win now. But I don't think he believed that until he actually did it. I think what happened last weekend was Chance is good. Chance is fast. He got in a scenario that Hayden wasn't necessarily having to go all in and trying to chase him. There was points of that race that Hayden started closing the gap, but I think it was because, one, Chance was out front. Chance had a good pace, and Chance was racing as, y'all going to keep letting me, like, when is this not going to happen? like, when is this not going to happen? So Chance was in that mindset of like, okay, eventually I'm not going to win because I haven't won before, rather than I believe I can win and it's just going to happen. So they started closing in on him. Hayden started closing in on him, but that was because Tom Vial was coming, and then Tom Vial fell. And so then the Joe Shimoda started coming. So it was a lot of that, but Hayden wasn't necessarily going 100% towards Chance. Chance wasn't 100% thinking that he can win, but now he knows he can win, and Hayden's going to be 100% trying to go at him. So as the next couple races, we'll answer that question officially. Was it because of confidence? But right now, I say because that boy good. That's it.
Adam Volk BMX asks, does a less ripped track benefit Jet while injured?
What up, Adam BMX? Yes, this weekend, I for sure, having a less ripped track, I would say it helped Jet as far as just the ruts, really. I mean, if you got all these ruts, and that's how Thunder Valley is, then you have to be holding on, because the tires that these guys use, the Dunlops, they're aggressive tires. They work great, but they're aggressive, and they try to pull in the ruts. That's why guys have switched tires depending on how the rut is, how long it is. And so if you got a hurt shoulder, or you know, it's harder for you to hang on, and you got a lot of ruts, that becomes an issue. I would say it helped him. It's not the reason why if it was ripped, would he would have won? I mean, probably there's a good chance because dude's that good, but it was a good scenario to be able to not have it as deep, and how the whole day went, just Jet, it allowed things to happen a little bit easier for Jet to make things happen. So I'm not going to say anything that helps him win besides he's that good, but for sure, I'm sure he was happy when he saw that track wasn't as deep as it normally was.
This is more of a general question, but Jay Boosh asks, how much control does a rider have over parts used on a bike setup?
Jay Boosh? I don't know. That's a really good question, and there's two answers for none, because I've been in that none side of things, and then I've been in the side of things that I got a lot of control in it. So just depending on the team, you know, there's new bikes that's coming out. There's a lot of politics that come in everything. You got to make money. You got to make sales. You got to sell to the Jay Booshes, well, whatever. But sometimes teams have a little bit harder time to switch bikes, or even if riders want certain parts that are not necessarily on bikes that you can buy. And plus there's rules to this game and all that. So there's some teams and some places that you got a lot of input and you can do a lot of things. And then there's sometimes that you have your box of parts and that's your sandbox. You get to play, make whatever you can, but that's your box. So not bad, just different. And it's not one team, it's all teams just in different points. It just depends what's happening everywhere else. So it's not a budget thing, which, I mean, it is a budget thing, but yeah, here, there, Jay Boosh, good question.
Decano asks, with Hunter progressing and showing consistency, is Hunter a bigger title threat than Chase?
Good question. And I'm gonna answer like this. We shall find out. I would say it's a weird scenario because they all know each other. I mean, they are all teammates. Honda had last year teammates on teammate crime. Then they got teammate on brother teammate crime. Brother on brother crime, whatever. So they know each other. So it's not like a difference. So I think Chase feels like he knows Jet. Jet knows like he knows Chase. And you know what I mean. So I don't think it's... I wouldn't say Hunter is more favored. I wouldn't disrespect Chase like that. You can see that maybe Hunter is slighter favorite a little bit because one, maybe knows his brother, and his brother ride different towards him than he would Chase in a scenario. But as far as just riding, they both damn good. They both are title favorites. So I think we're going to find out. Just Hunter is new to this class. Chase has so much motivation, and the team KTM has so much motivation to beat and win, that just because the Hunter being his brother, his motivation and team's motivation maybe offsets that a little bit. So I would say they're dead even. Yeah, one guy maybe has issues, but Chase didn't have, he wasn't crashing like he was last year. So they're both pretty consistent. And we saw what Chase did last weekend, so you can't erase that. So when he goes in Chase mode, whatever that mode is, that dude pretty damn good. So nonetheless, great question. We're going to find out. They both pretty good, and they both threats. I will say they both threats. Jet knows they threats. They threats. So that's real. All right, people, I do think this is the last question. Great question. So thank you as always. Now we go on to the next one. My second favorite time, your favorite time, Stu's Instus. Keep it simple, keep it short. First Stu is the one and only Danger Boy. Danger Boy. I would normally start off with 450, but I'm starting off with 250 because 450 went first this weekend. So I'm going to switch back up, just get it back in the schedule. But Danger Boy. Now look, you may be muddling line a little bit. You might be muddling line, like some of your comments and stuff. Look. It's great TV, and I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But you be making Tom Vial, which Tom Vial don't get mad at nobody, and maybe he ain't mad. But you know, you be talking to him, and he don't want you talking to him. So he be go out there ride, so he can stop talking to him. But he did go outside, and I don't know why he went outside. He forgot to go inside, and you went inside, and damn, that was a nice inside pass. You knew what you needed to do, and you go out and do it. So you might be muddling line, but your only line that you be muddling is the line that wins. And that's all you need to do, because all you do is get the dub. And all you do when you get the dub is you get a stew. And that's what you are. So Hayden Deegan, keep it up. You a stew. Now my next one is Jet Lawrence. Now, last weekend you crashed. And it was a big crash. And you were on the side of the track. And we were like, damn, that dude crashed. And then everybody was talking about, like, well, Chase came up. Yeah. You crashed, and then you were laying there, and then you got up because you crashed, and then you coming, and then you didn't come up as far as we thought because you crashed. You were hurt. Now you showed up this weekend because of last weekend's crash, and then last weekend's crash made you show up this weekend a little hurt, and everybody was talking. Chase Sexton dominated that race, but the only reason they dominated because you crashed. So you wanted to come in and show everybody the only reason he won is because you crashed. That's it. So you came in this weekend and you didn't crash. And what happened? You won. Which makes the sense of the only reason he won because you didn't crash. And when you don't crash, you end up being a stew. And that's exactly what you are. So Jet Lawrence, you a stew because you didn't crash. You hit the ground hard. That was a big old crash, but we didn't see it this weekend. And you a stew just like you were the previous other times. You winning all them damn races. And I know, you're my boy. You didn't want to, like, make me look bad, 25-0. Even though I think I went 32, but look. Let's just say we just be even. Even on the track, even in the streets, because we know we ain't even on the golf course. You keep talking. The streak would have never started because it would have never won in the first place. You would not be a stew against a stew. That just is what it is. And I'm not talking about the track. I'm just talking about on the track, the real track, the golf track. You know what I mean? Anyways, Jet Lawrence, good job. Hunter Lawrence, I give you a stew. Chase X, I'm going to give you a stew for what you did last weekend. Sometimes last weekend, stews can carry over this weekend. Keep your head up. Everybody else good. Tom Vial, keep your head up. Slap that bitch. Like, whatever. Like, don't go outside. Like, don't forget this time. We can get you some fish oil if you need it. Like, whatever you need. So, all y'all stew. Well, that was it from round three. Well, like I said in the show, there was a lot of questions that was answered, but we got a lot of questions that still need to be answered, and we're going to find out next weekend in High Point at round four, where your boy going to be there as always. And until then, people, I am done talking. I think the kids are swimming, somebody's slapping somebody, and I'm going to go tell Tom Vial, slap a b-. Peace. Mic drop.